Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant, Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
Hallelujah! Are you excited to be in church? Amen. And now, our Father and our God, in the midst of the excitement and the joy that bubbles out of our spirit, because we know you and we have you, we are so grateful for all the many blessings that you keep showering on us. We are grateful as a church that we stand here together on the last Sunday of the month. It can only be you who can do this. Therefore, take your glory, take your place, and take your moments. At this time, Lord, we avail ourselves, surrender our will, our thoughts, our intentions, our emotions, and decisions under the jurisdiction of the Holy Spirit. And we ask that the Spirit of the living God will take the center stage of our lives and our worship, that this morning he would lead and direct, guide and bless us through the unadulterated word. Spirit of the living God, you are the one that reveals secrets and truths. You are the truth. Therefore, make yourself known. Make yourself known. Use me as a funnel of blessing. Let your blessing also rub on me as I release them to your people. We thank you together. And we'll continue to thank you when all is said and done. In Jesus' name. Let the blessed people shout a big amen. Amen. Please sit, get seat at the presence of the living God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Somebody is blessed. We have come thus far by faith. Everything about the believer is by faith. Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Two things that the Bible actually prescribes that a man should live by is, number one, man should not live by bread alone, but man should live by every word of the Lord. Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. The Bible also talks about Habakkuk 4:2. The last part says that the just shall live by faith. So we live by faith. By the grace of God, we've had a lot of discussion and discourse concerning faith. I believe we've not been able to exhaust it so much, but we've been able to touch on some important aspect of faith that God wants us to know at this moment in time. And I believe he's going to add up to us as the days unfold. Amen. Today we want to talk about one of the ingredients that makes faith works. one of the ingredients that we need in order to make faith works. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And they that come to him must know that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We have defined faith, among many others, as living in the integrity and the faithfulness of God to keep that which he has promised. The Bible says that the vision is yet for an appointed time. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 3. The vision is yet for an appointed time. Though it tarries, it says that wait for it, for at the end it will speak and not lie. So there is a time where God gives his promise, or God speaks to us. And there is a time where that promise actually comes into fulfillment. It doesn't mean that by the time God spoke, he was now working on it. No. But there comes a time that God goes into hiding, and it looks like he hasn't said anything. And it looks like whatever he has said is not coming to pass. Sometimes your prayers don't work. And it looks like the enemy is having a field day. But it takes faith to be able to hang in there, still believing and trusting him, that whatever he told you will surely come to pass. And that is where faith is actually required. Living a life in his integrity and faithfulness to keep his promise. Wow. Why would God want to promise you? Anytime God speaks, he doesn't speak according to your ability, but he speaks according to his ability to perform. God does not speak according to your qualification or your integrity, but he speaks according to his integrity to keep his promise. When someone promises you and you know that the person doesn't have what it takes to keep his promise, is it worth waiting? No. It is not worth waiting because you know that this person doesn't have the capacity to wait. But the Bible has made us to understand that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man who would repent on his words. Has he said it, and will he not make it good? Has he spoken, and will it not come to pass? So God speaks according to his integrity. He speaks according to his creative ability and power. Wow. He says what he means, and he means what he says. He doesn't say something one time and later find out that, well, he didn't mean it. Or he realized that it was too much for him to handle. No. Before he speaks, he has actually brought it into fulfillment. In between the promise and the fulfillment lies your faith. How are you able to sustain and keep trusting in his integrity and faithfulness to bring to pass? This is what the church in Hebrews actually were giving up on, because many had waited so many times. Many have even left the faith because it looks like God was not in the purview. It looks like God was nowhere to be found. If God really is, why am I suffering? If God really is there, why am I going through this? So he encouraged them using the book of Hebrews, telling them to know that if they do not give up, there is a great recompense of reward. And they must have need for patience. And when patience has reached its fullest, the Bible says that they shall have the promise. What a blessing. In a little while, he that is coming will come. I believe this must be a form of encouragement to everybody. And know that your waiting shall never be in vain. Come on, I couldn't feel that. I said your waiting will never be in vain. Now, what would make the child of God stand strong in faith and not give up until the promise is seen is your love for God. Your love for God. Say, my love for God. Paul, in his illustration in Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 6, talked about the fact that in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. The litmus test that you need to make your faith works is your love. How much you love God will depend on how long you are willing to wait on him. Can I come clear? How much you love God will determine how long you would want to wait on him. I believe with all my heart that many of us have been involved with love relation, and sometimes love relation calls for a time of waiting, whether before or after or during, whether before or during, to the extent that there comes a time that because of the love you have for somebody, it pays to wait. It pays to wait. And sometimes we don't think of how long it takes, because we know we love that person, then it is worth waiting for. What will keep you in faith, in trust, to keep his promises is your love for God. The Bible makes us to understand that Jesus in John 16:33 made us to understand that we are not in this world in a trouble-free environment. John chapter number 16 verse 33. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Praise God. So Jesus did not promise us a trouble-free world. Can I come again? Jesus did not say that when you become a child of God, you will not go through challenges. He didn't say that when you become a child of God, you will not have battles to fight. He didn't say that you will not be faced with wars or trials. But his statement tells us that in the midst of challenges, we have overcome. In the midst of troubles, we overcome. In the midst of battles, we win. Praise God. Why? Because he has overcome the world. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse 8 says that we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Hallelujah. What a blessing. So this is the life of the believer who may be in waiting for God's promise to come to pass. It is not going to be a trouble-free world. It is not going to be a challenge-free life. But in all these things, the Bible says that we are more than conquerors. Even though we are troubled on every side, yet we are never distressed. Hallelujah. Even though we are perplexed, we are not in despair. Even though we are persecuted, we are not forsaken. We may be cast down, but we are never destroyed. So it is important for us to note this good news, that all your challenges are overcomable. All your battles are conquerable. And all your wars are winnable. They are what? Winnable. 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 Because he has what? Overcome. Praise God. Now, for us to be able to stay triumphant on all the challenges, on all the battles, and all the wars of life, in Romans 8, 35 to 36, Paul once again alluded to the fact that who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Hallelujah. Oh, tell somebody the love of Christ. I need it. I need it. I need it. I need it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, verse 37. Come on, tell somebody nay. In all these things, in all the persecutions, in all the tribulations, in all the distresses, nay, we are more than conquerors. Through him that what? That love us. Understand this important truth. He started by saying that who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Then he started talking about tribulations, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sword. In other words, all these things are come to separate you from one important factor of your livelihood. Everything that is fighting you is to separate you from how much you love God and how much God loves you. Love is reciprocal. Is somebody here with me? But in spite of what these things are meant to do, he says that we are more than conquerors. Can I have some few people who can appreciate God for making them more than conquerors? In spite of what was thrown at you, in spite of the difficulties, the challenges, the trials, the distresses, the persecution and all that, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him that loves us. It has taken his love to keep us. It has taken his love to sustain us. It has taken his love to bring us where we are supposed to be. So we must allow the love of God to work in our lives. And here is the deal, that God's love is the covenant prescription for never failing life. Never giving up life. God's love is the covenant prescription. If you are here and you want to overcome all your challenges, you want to win all your wars, you want to have victory over all your battles, the secret to your victory, if you want to see the fulfillment of that prophecy, if you want to see God coming through for you as he has promised, then love becomes your covenant prescription for a never failing life. There are things which come to separate us from the love of God. Never failing life comes through the love of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 9. He said that as it is written, no eyes have seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of any man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. For everybody to be able to stand and receive from God your covenant prescription to a never failing life is love. I don't know where you want to be, and I don't know where you want to reach in life. I don't know the level where you so desire to be. For faith to work, you need a prescription of love. And this morning, may our love for God release whatever we desire. Amen. This love that we need for God is a showing love. It's a showing love. I know that there are many who love with their mouth. There are many who can tell you all the sweet words, but never demonstrate it. There are many who can be able to give you the nice accolades and nice vocabularies just to depict their heart for you, but yet no action. This love that we must have for God must be a showing love. If you love me, then show it. If you love me, then demonstrate it. If you love me, then let me see. If you really have love for God, then it's worth waiting for him to see his promise fulfilled in your life. You don't give up because he's not showing up. You don't give up because you are not hearing from you. You don't give up because it looks like God is in hiding. But no matter what happens, for my love for him, I'll wait. And I know he's never going to disappoint me. He will surely show up. I said he will surely show up. So if you say you love God, then show it. I just don't want to have lip service. I just don't want to have word salad. But if I say I love God, then let it show. Tell somebody, let your love show. God's love at work in a man's life manifests on three platforms. And this service I'm sharing on one. God's love in a man's life manifest on three platforms. In other words, if a man says, I love God, or I have the love of God in me, it manifests on three platforms. And this becomes the indicators for you to know if you're really walking in love. Because walking in love is what will deliver your faith for the impossible. For that promise to come through. The one we are looking at this morning in this service, which is the first platform on which your love manifests, is in your zeal for God. Your love manifests in your zeal for God. Show me your love, and I'll show you my zeal for God. Show me your love and I will show you my zeal for God. What is zeal? Zeal is, are you ready for this? It's an inner force that propels an outward accomplishment. An inner force that propels an outward accomplishment. An inner force that propels you to do something for God. An inner force that propels you to do something for God. An inner force that propels you to do something for God. An inner force, something within you that pushes you. Well, that inner force may not be out of self, but that inner force is the spirit of God within you that keeps driving you, that keeps shifting you, that keeps moving you on to do something for God. Because except a man receive from God, he cannot give. Except a man receive, he cannot become. So that inner force within you that propels you to do something is what we call zeal. How is my love demonstrated? My love is demonstrated with my zeal. We have a typical example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in John chapter number 2, verse 17. The Bible says that Jesus has entered into the temple and realized that his house or the temple has been turned into a central market. It has been turned into a marketplace where all kinds of tradings and merchandising are going on, where there's all kinds of exchanges are going on. I don't know, for some reason, and I'm yet to understand that whether that was the first time Jesus was actually entering. because this practice has been there for many years, and that is what they know to do. To some extent, before when the law came that they had to present animals and bring offerings into the house of God, then this kind of behavior started. So when you are coming in with your offering, whether bull or sheep or lamb or whatsoever, then there will be people at the offering, at the place, at the church, who would inspect. They will inspect whether your animal has no defects. And for some reason, some way, somehow, they will find fault or something with your offering. You can imagine. And therefore, they will tell you that your offering is not acceptable. Your offering is not good. So let's take your heart. You put your offering and let's sell what is right to you. And the sad thing is that when they have sold, a new one to you, they will sell yours to also another person. And therefore, they were making money out of this place. Praise God. All kinds of activities were going on other than what his house was prescribed to be. So Jesus got so angry. And you can imagine, people who qualified to be his grandfather, Jesus took kings. People of 80 years, 85 years, who has been staying in the temple for many, many, many years. This small boy took Cain and started whipping them. What are you doing here? What is that? Don't you know that he has said that his house shall be called a house of prayer? Get away! He overthrew their tables and drove all their animals away. Wow. And when he was doing this, the disciples were watching him. It's not that he was doing it with them. And the Bible says, and they remembered that it was written of him that the zeal of his house has eaten him up. The zeal of his house. The zeal of his house. The zeal of his house. What are we learning from this scripture? Anyone that has zeal will love his house. Will love his house. Will love his house. Jesus saw that his house, or the house of his father, has been turned into something else. And he did not sit down. He did not just look on. Well, it could be the practice for many, 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 many years, but yet the writing must still be done. Well, I don't care how many times and how many years you guys have practiced this. Now it has come to my notice and the writing must be done. Move away from here. The love for his father's house had consumed him. Praise God. What a blessing. I'm not feeling you. I said, what a blessing. So it is important for us to understand that zeal is to be on fire or carry something or some burnings. Zeal is to be on fire or to carry some burnings. To be on fire. Be on fire. When somebody is on zeal, it means that you are on fire. Eh? When somebody is on fire, I have never seen anybody who is on fire and is still standing cool. Amen. Eh? You are on fire. Let's say there's fire on you. Or even somebody is following you with fire. Your hair has caught fire. And you are just standing there cool like this. Ask the women. It happens to them all the time. When they go to saloon, some of them, when they are braiding their head, they put fire. By the time you realize, you know, it's rubber. They have to go and bring a fire extinguisher. And then, before the fire on their head will be hot, will be quenched. What a blessing. If it has happened to you before, give God some wave. Hey, Auntie Anna.
Praise Jesus.
Yes. So, when we talk about zeal, we are talking about being on some what? Fire. If there's a burning, you just can't sit. Especially when some evil or bad thing is what? Happening, especially in the house of God. You can't just sit. You can't just look on for things to go bad. You can't just. Praise God. I'm sick and sad with people who could just look at something, hear an information, or see something going on, and for fear of people, fear of man, they keep mute and they shut their mouth. And all that they say is that, well, I have nothing to do with it. If I go and tell pastor or tell anyone, I'll be the one in trouble. You don't carry zeal. You don't what? No, you don't. You don't carry fire. Because the fire in you must propel you to do something. Not reporting. This is not reporting. It's about making things right. It's about what? You see, we realize that in our world today, especially in the kingdom of God, most Christians have become dormant. Because we have acceded into the idea of the enemy to the extent that, well, I just don't want a problem. I just don't want issues. I just don't want to go through that. Well, that is not me. Well, I can keep quiet, come and sit, do my service, and I'll go away. No, there is more to it. You carry some fire that must propel you to do something in the house of God. You are not here to just come and warm the pews, listen to some good sermons and leave. Drop some few coins in the offering bowl and you think that is all that you have to do. If you are on zeal, which indicates your love for God, you will never sit idle. You will never sit idle. You always be looking for opportunity. Pastor, what can I do? What can be done? You come to church, you'll be looking around. What can be done? What good can I do? What best can I do? Is there anything I can do? I'll be asking the Pastor Kwejo, Pastor Sam, can you help me? Is there anything I can do? You don't just sit idle. You just sit alone and sit on the fence as if you have nothing to care about. Your love for God is seen in your zeal. Tell somebody, in my zeal. God wants us to carry some fire. Amen. Zeal is that spiritual impetus that enables you to confront life situation. It is that spiritual word, impetus. Can I spell the word impetus? Impetus. Say impetus. Hey, I said say impetus. What a blessing. Yes. Amen. To face what? Life's challenges. The average Christian of today cannot even deal with headache. Cannot even deal with what? Headache. Headache or headache. Praise God. The least provocation, the least attack, they are either calling for pastor or they are trying to find other solutions to deal with it. I woke up this morning, I wasn't feeling fine, so I won't go to church. I feel that, Charlie. I'm not feeling so well. Meanwhile, you are not sick. With this same not feeling so well, if we were to go to work, in fact, nobody will tell you to go. Is somebody here with me? Yeah. Sometimes we give flimsy excuses at the least of life challenge, we are down. And we are asking for a kind of sympathy. We want everybody to sympathize us when it comes to doing things for God.
But when it comes to doing things for money, doing things for ourselves, we are self-motivated. We are all self-motivated. But when it comes to doing anything for God, let pastor come and sympathize with me. I was sick and the pastor even didn't call me. Why should I even go to church? The whole world should come and sympathize. Hey, as mercy is sick, everybody, when we go and visit him. Then you take pride. You are happy that you didn't come to church and the whole church is coming. I'm not saying visiting people is bad, but what kind of sickness?
You are not sick.
You are lying. Let me tell you, there will be challenges every moment. There will be times where the enemy will attack you, but that doesn't mean that you should be down wobbling your legs. For you to be able to face life challenges as they come, the distresses, the tribulations, the persecutions, and all kinds of things, what you need is a zeal. I refuse to remain on the ground. I refuse to be trampled on. I refuse to allow any sickness to take hold of me. I refuse to give up on my faith. I refuse to relent in my love for God. I refuse to give in to the things that people are saying to discourage me. I refuse. I refuse. That becomes your zeal. So yes, you may be having a headache. You woke up in the morning. Kamanta zabrakataya. Father, I thank you that I have received my healing. This headache, you are not stopping me. I have a zeal. I'm going to the house of God. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do what God expects me to do. I will not stay away. Shall I carry zeal? Let me tell you, if you are a kind of person that always wants people to pity you, you will never go anywhere in life. I'm telling you. You will never go anywhere. Get some sense of zeal inspired and motivated by the Holy Spirit within you. At all times, that this problem, this mountain shall move. This cannot stop me from getting to where God wants me to get to. I can never be prevented. I can never be stopped. That is not being proud. Because there's something within you that keeps moving. That doesn't want to settle for less. I don't want to settle for less. If I must do it, then I must do it right. If only I'm part of the church, then I must do what it takes for this church to grow. I cannot just sit down. I cannot just come to church and fold my arms. I cannot just come to warm the pews. I cannot just come because the church needs numbers. If only I'm part of the church, then let my presence be felt. That is a person on zeal. It helps you to overcome life challenges. I pray that may you overcome them. Isaiah chapter number 9, verse 7. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. He said that, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. God bless you, lady. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do what? Kaish. What accomplishes the increase of government? What releases peace that has no end? Oh my God. What gives him an enthronement of the kingdom? What orders it? What orders it? What orders it? What orders it? What establishes with judgment and with justice is the zeal of the Lord. Zeal is an accomplisher. Zeal is a performer. It makes you perform. It makes you hot. If you are in work environment and sometimes you feel that maybe your boss doesn't like you, and he likes the other person more or better, check closely the attitude of the two of you. You realize that one has zeal that even if he doesn't know how to do it, he wants to try it. But one always wants to give an excuse why I can't what? Do it. Praise God. We are not called to give excuse why we can't do it, because whatever it takes, he has embedded it in us. He has given it to us. If you lack any wisdom, ask of him. If you lack the way or approach, ask of him. But for you to be silent and not to act, it means that you don't have zeal. And that does not demonstrate your love. Let me tell you, church, don't tell me you love God, you love the church, if you are sitting on the fence, if you are not doing anything. It's a fake love. Can I come again? I said this word. We have many fake people in church with fake what? Love. Because definitely your love must show. If you love me, show it. Don't just say it. Show it. Show it. Show it. Look at somebody. Do you really love God? How well are you showing it? Come on. You're afraid of that. Huh? Never be afraid of any mortal person. This is the word of God. Do you really love God? And how best are you showing it? Yeah, look at him and tell him. How best are you showing it? If you are not on zeal for God, then check the love you claim you have for God. Why do I need zeal? Why do I need zeal? Number one, it gives you power to overcome every threat. It gives you power to overcome what? Every threat. Zeal gives you power to overcome every threat. Let me tell you, the life is full of threats. There are many things that are coming to threaten you. As we are talking about right now, somebody is being threatened with certain symptoms of a particular sickness. Threats. Had it not been the zeal, some of us will be nowhere. We will not be even out of the scene. I'm telling you, you have no idea what a man or a person goes through in his body. But the zeal of the Lord, praise God. I wake up every morning and say that, Lord, if you have given me life, then I must do the things you have asked me to do. Nothing puts me down. Nothing. No sickness. No disease. And I may feel weak from the beginning. But the moment I take on and I begin to move, I don't know where the feelings, the sicknesses, and those things will pass. Everything. Zeal. Tell somebody zeal. When you go read Acts chapter number 5, we are not going to read it because of time. Number 2, zeal destroys discouragement and weariness. It destroys discouragement and what? Weariness. You are always discouraged. They be why you moody. Why you moody to say why? Mumuni. Moody. You are always discouraged. And you are nipa, and another kafra. With a debia and a sister kafra. Oh, bra. Nyame beye. That ben also been your courage, sir. Name ho and teme. Nan ye man koye. Nanso radia to metimajin and to wonso. Minim so betimajina. Are you with me? You must be able to overcome all manner of discouragements. You are easily discouraged. Why? You are easily what? Look at someone. Why are you easily discouraged? Because you lack what? Zeal. Every little problem is like the whole world is coming to an end. You lack zeal. Listen, every challenge is meant to overcome. There's no challenge that is supposed to overwhelm you. Every challenge must be, as I tell you, a form of trampoline. How many of you know children's trampoline? When they stand on it and they start jumping, what happens? It takes them up. No, this one, you are not coming down. Are you with me? Trampolines is supposed to take you what? Up. Such is the problems and the challenges we go through. So when you are faced with a little challenge, a little delay, a little setback. Even to you, you think it's a setback. But you have no idea what that setback has done for you in order to live till this moment. I always tell you that most of you who are angry with traffic lights don't really cherish life. If you are upset because there's a traffic light and that traffic light is on red and you need to wait, then you don't cherish life. But if you really cherish life, you will thank God for the red traffic light. Because at that moment, it helped you to stop, to have a clear view of how life is going to be for you. At that moment, you stop and allow the problems to pass, the issues to pass. And when it's cleared, now you can move your way. But you don't understand why I have to go through this. You're always complaining, always murmuring, always moody, always aisha. And Obia wants to be at aisha. Come on, look at them. If they are not smiling, they don't have a zeal. Some of you smile in your mouth. You smile must show. If your smile is not showing your teeth, you have an issue to deal with. What a blessing. It destroys what? Discouragement and weariness. Listen, create an atmosphere where people can feel comfortable with you. That's good. Can I drop it again? Create an atmosphere where people can feel comfortable with you. Listen, no matter how good you are, if you are always moody, people will never come close to you. Nobody wants to be around moody, frustrated. Why? What is wrong with you? Oh, they are not even old now. Listen, and sometimes you complain that people don't like you. It is the way you are. Can't you encourage yourself at the least provocation and say, well, it is okay. After all, what? Let me enjoy the moment I have. At least I have my husband, I have my children. I have something to do. At least I don't have many. I don't have so much. But this is enough for now. This is enough for now. And you always make people feel uncomfortable because you are moody. You are discouraged. As if you are the worst person. Who told you? The situation you find yourself, somebody wants to be better. Somebody wants to be like you. Somebody wants to be like you. And you are sitting there because of what you don't have. But you have something that you can appreciate God for. Stop being moody. Come on, tell somebody sitting by you and look at their face. Stop being moody. Catch them. Message your name, catch them. Stop being moody. Listen, it doesn't add anything to your life. It rather frowns your face. Yeah? Wrinkles, no? The wrinkles that you see, most of the times, it comes because of what? You see a young person, then wrinkles all over. Wrinkles. Because you are always what? Moody. If there are moody people here, shout a big amen. I got them right there. What a blessing. Again, why do I need zeal? Zeal propels me forward. Zeal propels me forward. Anyone with zeal, you are never at the same place. Somewhere, somehow, you feel that you are always moving forward. It may be a little progress, but you are never, or you never used to be where you were. Zeal always moves you forward. It has taken the zeal of the Lord for this church to move where we are going. Every moment, you see we are moving up. You see we are moving up. We are never the same like we did yesterday. Zeal, it pushes your life forward. You must pray that the zeal of the Lord will consume you. And that demonstrates that indeed I love God. I love God. And with zeal, you never give up on his promises. You never give up. How do you express your zeal? Number one, how do you express your zeal? Acts chapter 2 verse 42. Acts chapter 2 verse 42. How do you express your zeal? The Bible said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Are you following me, church? So number one way by which our zeal is expressed, it is expressed by our continuity. Zeal is expressed in your continuity. Everybody say with me, it's expressed in your heart. Continuity. 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 The Bible said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teachings and doctrines and fellowship in the breaking of bread. It means that if you have zeal, you always keep doing what God wants you to do. If it is coming to church, you make sure nothing breaks that. It becomes continuous. Every day, I must make it to the Lord's house. That is a zeal, a form of zeal. If it's in paying of tithe, it is not this month I pay, next month I won't pay. Oh, this month I will give, next month I won't give. No, you must what? Continue. Everything I've told you many times, that everything we do in the kingdom of God must be what? Continue. Continuous. Continue. Until Jesus comes, we are not stopping. Hey, are you with me? Until Jesus comes, we are not stopping. So we'll continue to do the things that he wants us to what? Do. And that shows that we have what? Zeal. If you fail to do the things that you are supposed to be doing, you lack zeal. And therefore, you are allowing setback, discouragement to set in. Number two, how do I express my zeal? Number two, by staying tenacious, persevering, not relenting, not giving up. By staying tenacious, tenacious, tenacious. The word tenacious means you have become so tough. Master, I am tough for this work. I am tough for this work. I am tough. You put a gun on me, Pastor. Don't go to prayer line. And then you will kill me. They're what? Nations. You can imagine at midnight lying with your wife and there's rain. And your wife tells you or knows that you are not going. And by the time you realize, say, this guy, what is wrong with him? Is it not the rains? It was raining torrentially. No. Tenacious. There's somebody tenacious. Yes. You are. That is what we call tenacity. Like nothing breaks your flow. Nothing breaks your flow. So it is staying tenacious. That is persevering. 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 Anemia, that is persevering. Sometimes it may not be right. Sometimes you may not feel good. Sometimes it is the condition is not right. But persevere. 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 Sometimes you may not be accepted, but persevere. Sometimes your views may not be taken, but persevere. Sometimes you may feel rejected, but what? Persevere. Perseverance is seen where there are challenges and difficulties. Perseverance. Not relenting. Not giving up. Not relenting. Charlie, the way last time, pa, we tire for breakthrough night, pa, yeah. Charlie, this Sunday, yeah, make we relax. The way I tire, pa, the way my I sang, my voice all go. So Charlie, immediately we finish ministration, I'm putting the microphone down and I'm going to sleep. Hey, I'm going to sleep because your house is closed. Immediately I finish ministration, I'm tired. I'm hot. And lo and behold, he will put the microphone down and then go and sleep. And after everything is said, you come, Daddy, today the service was powerful. I've not mentioned anybody's name. The service was powerful, as if he sat through everything. What a blessing. That is not a zeal. I thank God for those who were able to stand in with me from the beginning to the end. I knew they were tired. I knew they felt sleepy. But that is a zealous or zealous people. So long as the work has not been done or finished, we are not giving up. That is somebody on zeal. That is somebody on zeal. So long as there is something to be done, I must not leave the drum. So long as there is something must be done, I must not leave the keyboard. What if pastor in ministration left a song? So long as something must be done, I must still be on post. I may be weak. I'm tired. Pastor, you know my seat is not comfortable. Yes, I know it. You must still be on zeal to see the work what done. What a blessing. So that is number two. Staying tenacious, persevering, and not relenting. Not giving up. Not giving up. A little thing you have given up. What if God gives up on you with the little you do? Praise God. Are you with me? Last Friday, there was a statement that escaped me. That said that men would hate you because of all the evidences or things that they know about you. But do you know what God does? God still loves you irrespective of everything he knows about you. And therefore, we become our own judges. Our own examiners. We set the questions and we mark them by ourselves. Never giving up. I pray that may you never give up in life. The amen is weak. How do you strengthen your zeal? My time is almost up. How do you strengthen your zeal? How do you strengthen your zeal? Number one, mind the company you keep. Mind the company you keep. If you walk with zealous people, you become zealous. If you walk with people who always give excuses. Last time I shouted a guy in this house. And from that day, he himself confirmed that, Pastor, from that day, I changed. At the listing, he will retort right now. Whilst you are talking, you are not even done with the instruction. Then he starts giving you the reason why he can't do it. The other day I said, shut up. With this attitude, you are not going anywhere. And the thing got to him. And from that day, he changed. He came to confirm that, Pastor, the thing you did to me has helped me in the work I'm doing. Had it not been that, he would have been sacked long ago. How can your boss give you an instruction? And therefore, this day, he says, when he's walking with his boss or driving with his boss, and the boss say anything, Then he remembers whatever I told him. Say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, yes, sir. Even though he cannot do it, he will say first what? Say what? Yes, sir. And that has kept him till now. Is somebody here with me? Mind the company you keep. When you walk with people who are complainants, concerned people, they are not going anywhere. All that they see is to get people and talk about them. You would become like them. If you have friends with those who drink, who do you become? Maybe yours will be even worse. Mind the company you keep. What did I say? I said, mind the company you hold. You keep. Get zealous people. Even in this church, it's not everybody who is supposed to be your friend, but love everyone. If I see that some things are about you and it won't help me, it doesn't mean that I should be eating together with you. No. I love you. We share everything together. But usubai bintino, I don't want to be affected by your behavior. Are you with me? Yes. Mind the company you keep. At workplace, mind the company you keep. If you want to become best, be with the best. Are you with me? Our church is an excellent church. So me, I watch excellent pastors who, and I try to connect with pastors who are doing excellent things. Excellent things. Amen. Most of the things we are doing here, I'm not the originator. It's because I'm in company with people who are doing well. So I just watch them and I learn from them. You don't want to become better. You don't want to become better. And the very people that are always pulling you down with their attitude, with their behavior, anytime after talking to a particular friend, you realize that you begin to have a bad heart for people. You begin to have some kind of heart be against certain person who has never done anything to you personally. The moment you finish a conversation with something, it's like Adam giving Eve giving an apple to Adam. You become possessed to do bad things. Mind the company you keep if you want to keep your heart, your zeal. Are you with me? Are you with me? Yes. Number two, keep emphasizing on the things of the word. Keep emphasizing on the things of the word. If you want to keep your zeal, don't be speaking worldly words. Don't be saying things that the world are saying. Keep emphasizing on the word of God. What is God saying in my situation? Not what somebody is saying. Not an idea of somebody. Keep emphasizing. This is what the will of God for my life. This is what I must do. This is where I must go. This is what must be done. And you see that you always be hot on zeal. Number three, get yourself involved in corporate prayers. If you want to be on zeal, get yourself involved in hot. Corporate what? Prayers. Listen, one way by which your zeal is rekindled is prayer. I love it when I'm praying. And I love it most when I'm praying with people. When the atmosphere is charged with people. And you realize that everybody is involved. And as the prayer becomes so sweet, and our zeal comes up. Oh, our zeal comes up. And we see God moving like never before. Get involved in what? Corporate prayers. If you want to be on zeal, you can join school of prayer. If you want to be on zeal, don't miss prayer meetings in this house. It will rekindle your zeal. Number four, the last one. To stay in zeal, stay in fellowship or stay in communion. To be in zeal, stay in fellowship. Stay in fellowship. Stay in fellowship. Stay in what? Fellowship. Stay in fellowship. Stay in fellowship. Don't be someone who is truant. Today you are there. Tomorrow when we are looking for you, you are not there. What kind of life is that? What kind of attitude is that? You can never be relied upon to do anything in this house. When you are entrusted with a responsibility, today you'll be here, tomorrow we will not find you. You can give all the excuse in this world. You are not on zeal. The number one platform upon which everybody's love is seen or demonstrated is in what? Your zeal for God. How much do you love God? And how is your zeal? Let me tell you, it takes zeal to do anything for God. Because there are every attempt in this life to stop you from doing something for God. At all means, something will try to stop you from not coming to church, from not paying your tithe, from not fellowshipping, from not getting yourself involved with soul winning, for not doing something, for at least something. Something will show up. But it takes a man on zeal to walk over those things and still do the right thing for the Lord. May the Lord bless you this morning. I say, may the Lord bless you this morning. And let the zeal of the Lord begin to consume his church. Come on, be on your feet. Let the zeal of the Lord begin to consume his church. Let the zeal of the Lord lift up your hands and say, Spirit of God, release your zeal in me. Holy Spirit, I receive your zeal to propel me for divine accomplishment, to do something, to love your house. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit will rekindle your zeal. Come on, come on, come on. You need a zeal. I need a zeal. Open your mouth in prayer. Can I hear you pray? Zeal to stay tenacious, persevering, not relenting, not giving up. Zeal for continuity. Come on, pray that, Father, give me zeal for continuity. Give me zeal to stay tenacious, never giving up. Open your mouth in prayer. Lord, I need your zeal. I need your zeal. Zeal at all times. Zeal to overcome threats. Zeal to destroy discouragement and weariness. Zeal to propel me forward. Pray, Holy Spirit. Everybody open your mouth. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Tell the Holy Spirit to give you zeal. Come on, let me hear you. Come on, let me hear you. Talk to the Holy Spirit to give you zeal. Come on, raise it. Come on, raise it. Come on, raise it. Come on, raise it. Kantori badada batsiri badadi antala vedebosha. Come on, is that your prayer this morning? Holy Spirit, I need your zeal. The Bible says, and they remember that the zeal of his house has consumed me. You want to pray, Holy Spirit, let the zeal of your house consume me. Let me do things not because of men. Let me do things never to please men. Let your zeal consume me. Come on, it's coming on you. That grace is coming on you. Receive it right there. Receive it right there. Never giving up. Never giving up. Never giving up. Mato badabadabado shabadabaha.
Today, the spirit of discouragement breaks over my life. The spirit of pity party, the spirit that makes me succumb to challenges, to problems. Today, let them break free. Pray that I break free from every spirit of discouragement. Come on, break free. Take your son about pay say. You become so moody. You are not talking. When somebody talks to you, you don't want to respond. Break free from that spirit right now. Break free from that spirit. You want to make a pledge to God that from today you will mind the company you keep. You will keep emphasizing on the word of God. You will stay in fellowship. You will stay in fellowship. You will do something in this house. Let zeal cause you to do something. Bring souls, bring souls, bring souls, bring souls. The zeal of the Lord. 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 Lift up your hands. Let the zeal of the Lord begin to consume you right now. Come on. Let it consume you right now. Holy Spirit, consume us with your zeal. Come on, raise your hands high above your heads. As far as where you want your life to be. Come on, let the Spirit of the Lord upon everyone, ushers, everybody. Lift up your hands and ask that the zeal of the Lord consume me. The zeal of the Lord consume me. The zeal of the Lord consume me. Every area of your life, in business, in marriage, in career, in academics, let the zeal of the Lord consume you. Hallelujah. Now lift up your hands and thank him for an answered prayer. Thank him that you are on zeal. Thank him that his zeal has consumed you. Open your mouth and thank him.
We trust that you've been blessed with the word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.